We're going to start now, Perek Chavis, the 22nd Perek of Shabbos, Mitzvah Hashem, Kuf Mem Ches Amid Aleph. And the Chachamim prohibited buying things and selling things, borrowing money, and paying back money on Shabbos. And this is called the Gzeir Hashem Yichtov, because we're afraid to write a document. However, to borrow something, or to return something that you borrowed, that's mutar on Shabbos. So now Mishnah wants to clarify how he should say it to his friend. In other words, let's say he needs food for Shabbos, food or drink. Shoel odo mechavero kade yayin v'kade shemen. He's allowed to borrow from his friend, whether it's pitchers of wine or pitchers of oil, and it's for the purpose of Shabbos use. Ubilvad, however, shelo yomar lo halveni. He shouldn't use the word halveni, meaning lend it to me. He should only use the word hashileni, or give it to me, or let me borrow it. And the Gemara is going to clarify this. V'chein ha'isha mechaverta. So to a woman from her friend, and she wants to borrow loaves of bread from her friend, kikros, and she should not use the language of halva. Now the Mishnah says, what happens if the mashil doesn't depend upon the shoel that he will return it? V'im eno mamino, he suspects that maybe he won't get it back. In other words, the lender doesn't trust the borrower, and therefore he doesn't want to really lend out the wine or the oil. That person who wants to borrow it is not Neman Bienov. Is Meniach Taliso, the one who wants to borrow it, he can give, so to speak, a collateral, leaving his cloak Etzlo, Viosa Imo Cheshbon, and he's allowed to make a calculation, kama chayav biad mashalokach, how much is he going to have to pay after Shabbos from what he borrowed. In other words, let's say he calculates the measurement of wine or oil that he took, and Ose imo cheshbon liachar Shabbos. So when is he allowed to make this cheshbon? It seems that the only heter is if he can make the he leaves the cloak right with the lender, and he shouldn't say this is security. That would be indicating a transaction, which is again uvdu the chol. But rather, he just leaves the cloak in his possession, in the possession of the lender. And after Shabbos, they'll make a cheshbon reckoning the precise amount that he owes him. And this is to avoid violation of what Yeshayahu HaNovi says in Perek Nun Ches, Mimtzo Cheftzcho V'Dabri Dover. Right, that Diburcha shall Shabbos lo take in Diburcha shall chol, and therefore it should not be like Mekach u'Memkar with our Cheshbonos, make the Cheshbonos after Shabbos. V'chein, and the same halacha applies Erev Pesach B'Yerushalayim. The language here is a little bit difficult. It should say V'chein B'Yerushalayim B'Erev Pesach. Okay, fine. And he forgot to buy a lamb on Erev Shabbos. Now, Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. What is he going to do now? So he's allowed to take a lamb from his friend, Aldas, with the understanding that he'll pay him after Shabbos. And he'll be kona the lamb with a kinyan meshicha. There's discussion here about Kinyan Sudar. Anyway, all this was allowed, relaxed for Sorech HaKarbon, for the purpose of the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach. And Meniach Taliso Etzlo, once again, he leaves his cloak with the seller as a mashkon, v'notel es pischo, and he takes the Karban Pesach, and he's magdish it, he takes the lamb and he's magdish it, v'yosei imo cheshbon li'achar yontif, and on Chol HaMoed he's going to reckon with the seller exactly how much he owes him. That should be on Monday, if let's say if it's in Chutzot, you have Yontif Sheni. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Amalei Rava Bar Rav Hanan Labaye, Maishna Hashileni Umaishna Halveni. What's the difference between saying, lend it to me, or using the term Hashileni? Well, wherein lies the difference? I mean, really, Hashileni is similar. You know, it's a Lashon She'ela, and that you're allowing, but Halveni, the Lashon Halva, you're telling me is Usur. Why do you make that distinction? And the Gemara answers, Omar Le, Abai responds, Hashileni lo Usi lemichtav. That if he used the term Hashileni, they wouldn't be tempted to inadvertently write down what the transaction. But Halveni Osi Lemichtav. If he says, right, if the Lova the Bara used the word Halva, that Lashon, then the Malva might want to write down the details of this Halva on his ledger. And Stam Halva Shloshim Yom, so he wants to know exactly when he could collect the loan back and get, you know, return the loan, which should be repaid to him, because he wants to calculate the 30-day period from the time of the loan. So the Chacham therefore made a takana that should use a Lashon She'ela. And Ein Shayach Bazel Lashon She'ela, really, he's going to have to pay him up for the wine and the oil. I mean, he's going to consume the wine and the oil, so really he's only going to, in effect, it's a loan. I mean, he's going to have to pay money for this wine and oil that he borrowed, so to speak. But the answer is that even so, since he used the Lashon Hashileni, that's going to be, so to speak, a reminder that he shouldn't write it down on a ledger the way you would write down a halva. And you would make sure that you don't forget the details of the halva and you write it down. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is not happy with Abai's answer. Why is Hashileni mutter? And there's no fear that he might write it down. Kevan bechol, even during the weekday, zimnin deboi lemeimar le halveni. Sometimes the lova has to say to the malva alveni, and that's called a dover sheinu chozer bi'atzmo, right? You're not talking about something that automatically goes back to its rightful owner. The omele ashileni, and if the malva, if the lova says ashileni, the malva is not makbid lo kapiluya, he's not makbid that the halva should be, should have some sort of din of she'ela. In such a case, he can demand payment immediately. But yet, maskim v'daito, she'ia lo din halva v'lo yuchal letovat shloshim yom. So that, even though technically, if he, during the weekday, the borrower says to lend a halveni, or Hashileni, then we realize that in both cases he's asking for a loan and he wants a certain duration, some sort of substantial duration. And although it's not indicated by the choice of words, so then Asi Lemichtev, the lender, is going to write down the loan. And therefore, B'Shabbos, we should come to the conclusion, Kevad Hashileni, who Deshor Le Rabbanon, Halveni lo sharule. Since they're only being mati, the rabbanon using the language of hashileni. So, and they're not going to allow him to use the lashon halveni. Is minkra milsa b'lasi lemichta. That itself is going to be a reminder when he says hashileni, even though again he means alone. And he's not asking for an extended, substantial duration of time. And that shinui, that minkara milsa, means that it's really, we're not extending a loan over here for a substantial amount of time. So there are two types of loans, in effect. You know, there's a substantial extension of loan and there's not. So if on the Shabbos the lender, that's the mashil, he hears hashileni instead of halveni, which generally speaking for a loan it would be more appropriate to say halveni, but instead he hears hashileni, so he will realize that the borrower chose the word hashileni instead of halveni, because it's also to say halveni. And therefore, the mashil will know that the reason why halveni is forbidden is because halveni means a long-term loan, whereas hashileni means a signal to him that we're talking about a minimum duration, not a long-term duration. And therefore, why write it down? He's going to get his money back almost immediately. Omale Rava Bar Rav Hanan Labaye. In other words, we had one back and forth, a dialogue between Rava and Abaye. So the Gemara now records a different back and forth. Michti Amru Rabbanon Kol Mili Diyantif Bamedi Efshel Shnuye Mishanina. In other words, any activities that are performed on Yontif, you should make it different and deviate from the normal way you do it. And that's a mission in Beitza. And the mission in Beitza, let's see if we can. So the Chachamim say, Afal Pishim Mutal Trach, let's Sakin Tarche Sud of Yontif. Nevertheless, we try to make as much of a shinui as we can. Hamevi kade yayin mi makom lo makom biyantif lo yavim besal uba kupa. Right, instead of bringing them in a basket or a box, mevi al ksefo o lefanov, in his shoulder or in his hand in front of himself. Why mishum shenirik imaisachol shider pachol lases masos. Usually on the weekday we carry all sorts of burdens, and therefore they said that you should do a shinui from derech chol. So be nikar that he's doing it with tzorech yontif. Tamad yefshel shnuye mishanina. Hani noshi demalion chatzbayu maya. Women who fill their buckets with water from the river on yontif and carry them home. My time alone is shanina. Why shouldn't we ask them to do it a little bit differently than they do during the week? And the Gemara answers, Abai responds, Mishum delo efshar. That there's no way that they can change the normal way. It's not possible for them to change from what they normally would do. Because Hechi Ovid, what do you want them to do? Demalion b'chatzpa rabba. You want them to draw water with a larger bucket? And that would be a change? He says, Haka mafshu b'ilucha. In other words, really, that's not a valid shinui. You're only increasing their walking. Right? Wait a minute. He says the following. Demalion b'chatzpa rabba. If you're going to tell me to draw water with a large bucket, and then you're going to tell me deviate and draw it with a smaller bucket. I guess during the week they would draw it with a large bucket, and you're telling them now draw it on Yontif with a small bucket, then you're increasing their walking. Why are you going to have to go back and forth to get the same volume of water if they're going to use the smaller bucket to draw the water? So basically what you're doing is you are offering a deviation, a shinui, which makes it more difficult to them to expend more energy. And marbos behiluch ha'idei kach. And we don't want to be marbe tircha on yontiv. We don't want to increase the tircha. Now let's try a different possibility. D'malyan b'chatzva zuta. Let's say they draw water with a small bucket. L'malu b'chatzva rabba. Let them take a large bucket. And therefore they'll walk less. So it's less of a tircha. But komafshu b'masoi. Then you're increasing the weight and the burden upon their shoulders. That's marba torach, more than they would normally do. So we have another possibility on the top of Kuf Mem Chesom and Beis, Nifros Sudra. Maybe we should tell them that they should make the following shino. Yifros Sudar, they should spread a kerchief al gabi akad, on top of the bucket, and let's kneel. And then, in a sense, they're hiding what's inside. So it's a little bit of a shinui without any tosefes Torah, because the kerchief doesn't add any significant weight. So that sounds like a good suggestion, but osi de schita. Maybe the kerchief will fall into the bucket, and they might squeeze it out, and that's a meleches melamin. Nechasye binach tomorrow. Maybe we should tell them to cover the bucket with a lid, right, a wooden lid. And once again, it's a kind of hatsnah, you know, it's not no longer obvious that they're carrying all this, you know, all this water. And now there's no chash of schita, because you're using a wooden lid. That sounds like a good suggestion, but we reject that also. Zimnin de mifsak vi osi le miktere. Tokidei nesias akad oli korach chevel shebokoshu sakisu lekad. So you have to tie down the lid to the bucket with a rope, because otherwise it's going to fall on the way. You don't want to lose the lid. And what happens if it gets detached on Yontif? It breaks. And he says, Yovel lekosher b'Yontif. He might come to tie it on Yontif. And that would be a kesher shel kayoma. He's going to violate meleches kosher. Hilchos lo efshar. Therefore, we've excluded all the various possibilities, and we're going to allow the women to carry the water in the bucket in the normal way that they do so, not a larger, a smaller, and not with covering it this way or that way. Now we have another dialogue here between Rava and Abaye. V'yomalei Rava bar Chanan l'Abaye Tnan. We learned in a Mishnah Masechta Beitza, amongst the various lists of details of what you're not allowed to do Mishum Shvus on Shabbos and Yontif, it says lo misafkin velo mitafkin velo meraktin biyontif. In other words, we don't misafkin lahakos kap al kap, to clap hands yodav zulazu. And the Gemara there is talking about avelus, and people used to clap their hands out of a sense of mourning. And they don't beat their chests, also a type of avelus. And lomarakt. Now we're in a simcha mode, in a glad mode. We don't dance on yont, because it might lead to tishem yitake in klishir. He might kind of fix up a musical utensil. And if he adjusts the music utensil, he violates Melechus Makavipatish.
So the Gemara says the reason for this of Shema Yitakein Klishir to intensify the Avelus or the Simcha of the Kachazinon di Avdin, and yet we see that people do these things on Yontif. V'lam Ridalu Midia, we don't find that the Chachamim rebuked them. So how do we understand this? Rava asks Abai. So Abai goes back and asks another kasha to Rava, Ula Tanech. Since you're asking that kasha from the Mishnah, then how are you going to explain Hadi Omer Rava, Lo Leisei Inish Afuma Delechye? Why is it that a person, says Rava, is not permitted to sit on the edge of an alleyway right near the lechi on Shabbos? Dilma migandale chefetz. Because perhaps a chefetz will go rolling outside of the lechi into Rishus HaRav, Yossi Lasuye, and inadvertently he'll carry it back into the lechi, into the mavli, which is a malacha of Hachnosa. We see that people, you know, women, for example, they set their buckets up right near the lechi. They sit with their buckets right near the opening to the alleyway, and they violate this takana of Rava. Nobody seems to rebuke them. Ella, but rather Hanach lehem liYisrael. Hanach liYisrael, mutav shiyu shogeg in value mezidin. In other words, if you're going to tell them and rebuke them, then they'll end up deliberating. They'll end up violating it deliberately, and that's going to be the answer to your question about the fact that people are doing this merakdin and masakdin and so forth and so on. Sover minei hanimili. Now I'm not sure who sover minei is. Maybe the Gemara itself in their initial assumption. Anyway, sover minei, that bidrabana, that this only applies to a rabbinic law. Alo bidoraisa. So if you're talking about a maximum violation of rabbinic law, then we're going to say mutav shishogim, we're not going to rebuke them. But in the case of a doraisa law, then we certainly have to rebuke them in all instances. And v'loi, and this is not true, loshan b'drabanan, loshan b'doraisa, that this principle of Hanach liYisrael and mutav shishogin applies even to a doraisa. And the Gemara is not going to prove that. Da tosefes Yom HaKippurim doraisa, adding and extending Yom Kippur, the fast of Yom Kippur, is a doraisa. And that's derived from the Nisan Esnafshul Seichem Ba'erev B'tshi Ba'erev to Tisha B'chodesh Ba'erev, and yet Kochazinalu the Achli V'Shos Hachetetcha, we see that the people are drinking, eating until it really gets dark, until they don't start the fast any earlier. V'lam Ridalu Midi, and nobody's rebuking them. So we see that even with regard to a Doraisa, we're not going to rebuke people if we know they're not going to listen. And we're going to apply the principle of mutav shishogi and even to doraisa. We'll give a little bit of an introduction to the next sugya here. The Torah says that you're not allowed to lend money beribis, and the Torah prohibits to lend a dvar machal, not only currency, but even foodstuff, beribis. And this is derived from the pasuk in Kitetze. It says, Lo sashich liochicha neshech kesef neshech, ochel neshech, kol davar asher yishach. And the Torah went out of its way to include ochel as well. And this Iser is an Iser Doraisa, but it only applies if he's Malve al menas sheyoshiv lo yoser mimasha lova. Like, let's say, for example, I'm going to give you a sa'a of tfua, and after a certain X period of time that we agree to, you'll pay me back more than a sa'a. Now,
the Chachamim prohibited Mishum what's called Avak Ribbis. It has certain Shmek of Ribbis, anything that might go up in price. And therefore, it could be that when he returns him that same volume, even though they didn't stipulate that he'll pay him more, he in effect is paying him more. He's returning him something at a higher value. Therefore, what we call Sabasa is Asur. So again, even though he's giving him back the exact volume that he took, but if the, as we said before, the fruits, in event there was inflation and the fruits went up in value, then the Lov is giving back to the Malva more than what he originally received from the Malva. Now, therefore, if you want to borrow a saw, then you have to evaluate its value at the time that you receive the saw. And it means that when comes time to return the saw, you might not even have to be giving him back a full saw. You can pay him the money, or you can pay him that same stipulated sum based on what the volume, the market value is for that tvua. And if they went ahead and violated the iser of saw b'saw, you lent them a saw, and they never evaluated its damim, then if there's a general influx, or that's not the word I want to use, but if the price on the market went up for that volume of that particular foodstuff, then what we'd have to do is we'd have to evaluate what the market value would have been at the time of the alvah, and that's what he's going to pay him back. If, on the other hand, let's say there was a depression in the market and the value of a saw went down, so for example, if at the time of the alvah it was worth X and now it went down, then there's going to be a machlokas Beis Hillel and the Chachamim in Masechta Bava Metzia and Hay. Beis Hillel says this is asur. So let's say, for example, he extended him a kikar of lechem, and now it went down in value. Hillel says a real serious problem, and the Chachamim allow it because they weren't medagdek and machmir to create an Isur Saw B'Saw to the extent that we should prohibit even a Dover Mu'ah. Now, our Gemara Asugi is going to try to deal with the question whether we can attribute our Mishnah even to Hillel in the case of Alva of one Kikar, where he borrows a Kikar and he's going to return him a Kikar. So instead of Saw B'Saw, which is a more substantial volume, we're talking about a minimum volume of kikar b'kikar. Now the Mishnah says, v'chein isha, she's allowed to borrow michaverta kikros. As long as she doesn't use the language of halva, she says, hashileni, it's mutter. So b'shabes hu di asur, if she would have used the language of halveni, and in the case of kikros, it would have been asur on Shabbos. And that's only because of the Shabbos Issa that we're afraid it might be written down. Aval b'chol, apparently, if there was no chash of violating the Shabbos, and this took place during the chol, and she would say, Alveni kikar shaper domi b'muta. There's only a special Issa here because it's Shabbos. Lema mastisin d'lo kehillel. Should we assume, therefore, that our mission is against Hillel, who says he's not allowed to be malve a kikar b'kikar because of the Isar Ribbis, the Snan we learned in the Mishnah of Metzia, with regard to the Isar Sa B'Sa, v'chein oya hil omer, hil would extend this Isar of Sa B'Sa to a case of kikar, lo talve isha kikar lechaverta. So even though we're talking about a relatively small amount, it's halva v'dover mu'ot, like for example a kikar, nevertheless, Hillel prohibits it. Just like we prohibited saw b'saw, so too you're not allowed to lend a kikar b'kikar. Asha tasena domu, unless you convert that kikar into its equivalent value at the time of the alvah, what was the market value of that kikar? And the understanding was that if it goes up in value, then the amount of money that's going to be paid is the amount that they shots it up, they evaluated at the time of the alvah. And if not, it's also why Shema Yukru chitin. Maybe the market value of wheat will increase. Vinimtu bos lide ribis. And then if she gives back the kikar, the same size as the kikar that she bought, that she had borrowed, then in effect, she is paying ribis. So the Gemara now makes an attempt to reconcile our Mishnah with Hillel. Afilu tema Hillel ha bi'asra de kayitz de kitz domel. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's a set price for a kikar. We don't have to worry about ribis, because if the market value of wheat will increase, then she'll pay based on the market value as it was b'shas halva. V'ha, but the Mishnah of Hillel is talking about a bi'asra delo kitz domel, and the value of kikar is not, the market value, the price is not known, it's not set. And here we have a chashash of ribis. So when the, you know, everybody knows that a loaf of bread sells for 10 shekel, so then she'll pay back the 10 shekel in at the time of the hashava salva. But in a place where, and this is where Hillel was addressing it, there's no price of the kika that's yadua v'katzuv, then we have a serious problem of ribis in event that the value, market value of chitin went up. Now let's go on to the Mishnah. Eino mamino. If the malva doesn't believe the lova, that the lova is reliable to pay him back, then the lova will leave his talis in the possession of the malva as a mashkon. And then after Shabbos, they'll make a cheshbon exactly how much he owes him. So Gemara now quotes a machlokas hamoraim regarding this din of halva, if it was done on yontif. And would there be a tviya in bezdin? Itmar, we learned, halvas yontif. If he does halva on yontif in a way that it's mutter, and the same thing would apply to Shabbos, if he uses the language of hashileni instead of halveni, then Rav Yosef Amar lo nitna litova bebezdin. For Rav Amar nitan litova bebezdin. So Rav Yosef is telling us lo nitna litova bebezdin, that if the malva would demand and sue the lova in bezdin, then we don't pay any attention to him. He doesn't have a leg to stand on. And Rav says, why not? Like any other halva, if he hasn't been repaid, he has a right to sue the lova, the borrower, to pay him up. So Gemara explains. Rav Yosef Amar lo nitna li tova. Di amrit nitna li tova. If you're going to make this into a full-fledged monetary halva, which is legal and binding, asi lemichtav, we have to worry that the malva might take out a ledger and write a note to himself, just like he does with regard to any halva, and he's going to violate the Shabbos Melechus Ksiva. He'll forget. He's afraid that he might forget the Alva. But now if you're telling me that it's Eino Nitenes Litova V'Bezdin, so then he's not relying on the fact that that by extending this loan, the borrower will pay him back. But rather he's relying on the word, the good word of the lova, that the lova will pay him back. And writing down the time and so forth and so on is not going to help him one iota. And therefore we remove the gzera of Shema Yichtav. That's Rav Yosef's understanding about Mishnah. Rav Amar, nitna li tova. Why? To iamit lo nitna lo yoivle. We have to somehow encourage the malva to agree to extend this halva. And if he has a chashash, he suspects that maybe the lova won't pay him back. And not only that, he has no recourse to sue him in a bezdin, then osilim nuye misimchas yontif. Then the lov is in a bind. He wants to enjoy yontif, and he needs, to borrow this kikar of lechem. He's not, the malva is going to be, sort of like shooting himself in the foot if he would extend such alvo. He has no security whatsoever. He's just simply totally relying on the goodwill and the honesty of the lover to pay him back. So you're basically discouraging people from extending such alva. So now the Gemara wants to prove from our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, Eino ma'mino, if he doesn't, the Malva doesn't believe the Lova, meniach alova taliso etzlo, he says, you know what, give me your talis as a mashkin, and then I'll extend you the kadeyayin and the kadeh shem. So Gemara says, Iyam epishle, it makes sense if you assume, lo nitna li tova bebezdin, like Rabbi Yosef, mishum hachi meniach taliso etzlo, the reason why the Malva insists that before he extends this kadeyayin and kadeh shem, he receives a mashkon, and we also imo cheshmen le'achar Shabbos, all this is because he doesn't have recourse to take him to Beznit. El Iyamrit, if you're going to hold like Rabbah, that nitno li tova v'bezdin is amay miniach taliso etzlo, is litain lo v'litve, let him extend the loan without taking a collateral, and if afterwards the lover denies the loan, then he'll sue him in a court of law. Now, the Gemara seems to be assuming that the Malve would be perfectly confident that he'll be able to get his money back in a Bezdin. I'm not sure how that works, because we know there's an institution of a Mashkin. You know, the Malve doesn't want to go through the whole hassle of Bezdin. Not only that, this seems to be a case of a Milbal Peh. He's not even holding on to a Shtar. So we're not exactly sure what the Gemara is thinking here in the Hava Mina. But in any event, the Gemara rejects this, and really, we can accept the sheet of Rabbah that this halva and yontif is nitna litova v'bezdin. And then the reason why the Malva insists on picking up the talis as a mashkon is because the Malva prefers to be absolutely secure and relying on his halva to get his money back by a mashkin. Omar, the Malva will say, lo v'ino de lekem bedina v'dayona. I don't want the whole hassle of going to a court. We know what it means to go to a court and standing in front of a judge and trying to produce witnesses to prove your claim. Who needs all that? I'm not going to pay him. I'm not going to give him back his cloak, his mashkin, until he pays me. And by the way, in Hilchas Dayanim, there's also an entire series of halachas, complicated halachas in the Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, about being borer dayanim, you know, how you choose a dayan. Each side wants to choose his own judge and so forth and so on. So let me just avoid, cut out the whole hassle. Now the Gemara Fakir asks Akasha on Rav Yosef from our Mishnah. Masiv Rav Idi Bar Ovin, not from our Mishnah, but from a Mishnah in the 10th parak of Shviyas. Hashochet es apora v'chilko l'kuchos ba'kofa v'yontif rishon v'yontif shel Rosh Hashanah. So now we're talking on what's called Motzi Shabbos of Shnas HaShemitah, Motzi Shnas HaShemitah. And now we're talking about a case of somebody who shechts a para, and he gives it out to various buyers who are on credit. They'll have to pay him back for buying the meat. And it's Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. And which Rosh Hashanah? Motzoi Shnas HaShemitah. And now we're going to get into an issue of Shemitah Mishametes, which means that the Malva cannot collect his chov according to Torah law. He can't demand his payment after the Shnas HaShemitah passes by. And that includes both, by the way, an essay and a losas. The Torah says that in Parshas Re, it says v'zed of dvar hashmita shamot, which is a mitzvah say called bal mashe yodo asher yisa v'yehu. And there's a lotas and it says lo yigos es v'yehu v'esachiv ki kara shmita l'asher. So when we get to the time of shmitas k'safim, which is the end of the 7th year of the Shemitah cycle, the Torah says, Miketz Sheva Shanim Ta'aseh Shemitah. And the Malve, who extends a loan to his friend on Shvius, on that 7th year, he can collect his chov during the entire year, but when the sun sets on night, in the night of Rosh Hashanah of Motzi Shvius, he loses his chov. And if we go back to the time that they were Mekadesh the Chodesh Al Pi Re'iyah, and the minig was that the day after Choftes El, there was a suffix of the Kedushas Rosh Hashanah, where we don't know if this day the Eidim might come and they'll say, well, we saw the Levana B'Kedusha, and they'll be and Bezdin will be Mekadesh the Chodesh, and then this day will therefore be the first of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. If they weren't Mekadesh the Chodesh on this day, then El is Me'ubar, it has 30 days, and therefore Rosh Hashanah is pushed off by one day. So Imaya Chodesh Me'ubar, if El turns out to be a 30-day month, and they are Mekadesh the Chodesh of Tishrei, the next day, L'machras Lamed El, so they made a double 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and now it turns out that Chiluk HaPora, and when they gave out the meat of the Pora, Hayu B'Lel Elul, Lamed of the, Belamed El on the 30th of El, and that's a chov of the Shemitah year. It belongs to last year, which is the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle. Is therefore Meshamet, the Mocher is going to have to give up on his, you know, all the creditors who owe money for buying his meat. He's not going to be able to demand that money for them, because Shemitah is going to be Meshamet the chov. Right, that's only if El is a Me'ubar, so he added one extra day, and therefore the Chov belongs to last year, which is the Shvius year. But in Lav, if let's say Chodesh El is a Chaser, it's not a Me'ubar, so they would Mekadesh that month on that very day. So the Chiluk HaPora was on Aleph Tishrei, that's a chov from the 8th year and not the chov from the 9th year. So what does Gemara see in this Mishnah in Shvius as far as Rav Yosef is concerned here? Gemara says, V'i, and if this halva which took place on Yontav lo nitna li tov, according to Rav Yosef, it's not a collectible chov in Bezdin, is my Mishamet. The whole concept of Mishamet, and this is what the Mishnah differentiates between Me'ubar and Lav Me'ubar, whether it's Meshamed or not, that's only relevant to Bezdin. If you want to, you know, you want to sue him in Bezdin, that if it's a Chodesh Me'ubar, then it's Meshamed. What do I need the Din of Shemitah here? You know, anyway, Bezdin cannot get involved in this Chov. It's Shamut V'Yomed, it's automatically Shamut, because, even without Din of Shemitah, because Rav Yosef Shita's Lo Nitna, Halvas Yantiv is Lo Nitna Li Tava. So our answer is Shani Hasam. The case of the Mishnah in Masech Rosh Hashanah is different, even though the Halvas Yantiv is, as Rav Yosef insists, Lo Nitna Li Tava. Nevertheless, this Halva, when he gives credit to his buyers, and he's Mechalik the Para, can be collected. Why? The Iglai Milsa de Cholhu. When they were Mekadesh the Chodesh the next day, meaning on Lamed El, and we find out, it turns out that El was Mole, and this day is now the 30th of El, it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's Chol, therefore it has a din of Havas Chol. In other words, we're not going to say that the 30th day is Yontif. So the Halva on the Tzad that they will establish this El as a mole, the halva was done on last year, right? But it's halva's chol, and if it's halva's chol, I mean that's not relevant to Rav Yosef at all. It's a halva which, under normal circumstances, would be collectible in Bezdin, and in this case, it will not be collected in Bezdin, because if Bezdin decides to be ma'abra the chodesh El, and it turns out that El is a mole with 30 days in it, then this halva, when he was mechalik to the lekuchos, took place in last year, which was the seventh year of Shemitah, and therefore, although normally it would have been collectible in Bezdin, the Torah says Shmot. Toshma. Now, the Gemara wants to bring another kasha, this time from the Sefer, on Rav Yosef. And Halvas Yantif is, as Rabbi insists, Nitno Litova, Mi Sefer. What does the Mishnah say in the Sefer? In Lav, but back to the Mishnah in Shvius, in Lav, if the month of El was not Me'ubar, So the Alvo was really on Aleph Tishrei, which is Yontif Shel Rosh Hashanah. Eino Meshamed, it doesn't belong to a Alvo of the 7th year, but rather to the 8th year. So the Gemara asks, Iyamet Bishlema, if you hold like Rava, that Alvo is Yontif is Nitnali Tova, then it makes sense. Haino Diktoni, that's what we learn, Eino Meshamed. Right, that this chov is not subject to the Shemitah year because it belongs to the new year. And therefore it's collectible in Bezdin. El Imam, if you're going to tell me, like Rav Yosef, that Alvos Yont is lo nitna li tova, am I in a Meshamet? Why does the Mishnah say that there's no din of Shemitah? After all, you don't have to tell me there's no din of Shemitah and address and instruct the Bezdin not to allow for the collection of the Chov. There's no Chov at all. According to Rav Yosef, this is not a Chov. He can't be Toveim anyway. As we said before, it's Shomet V'Yomet. And Gemara answers, really, in truth, Halvas Yontav Lo Nitna Li Tova. I, when it says in the Mishnah, Eino Meshamet, the I Yoev Le Shokil, that if the lova will pay up the chov from Ratzon, maybe Mirtzono, he could demand that he get reimbursed. Why? Because Shemitah is not Meshamit this chov. I mean to say that, not that he can get reimbursed, but I mean to say he can pocket the reimbursement. That's what I meant to say. Meaning that if the lova paid up the chov Mirtzono Atov, then he doesn't have rights to get it back from the Malva. And again, if not for the halacha of Halvas Yontiv, since there's no Shemitah over here, the Malva has rights to that money. His loan was reimbursed. So the Gemara says, Michlal de Reisha. Now we have to go back to the Reisha of the Mishnah in Shvius. And if Chodesh El in this case was Me'ubar, which means that the chiluk of the alva basically was during the Shvius year, then this is what it means that af even in pyoev le lo shakil, that if the lova went ahead mirtzono and he paid it up, is then the malva does not have rights to the chov, right? Lo yitol achov, and that is because the shmita is meshamet. That makes no sense. Meaning, if you're interpreting the seifa, that when it says ain't a meshamet in the seifa, it means that the malva doesn't have to return the money in the event that the lova gave it to him, and that's because the salva of the 8th year. Then how are you going to sustain that same interpretation in the reisha, where the reisha says meshamet? That if Chodesh El was Me'ubar, and this becomes Halvav the 7th year, the Shemitah is Meshamet, and then you're telling him that if the Lova paid up, the Malva is not allowed to keep the money, right? That's the flip side. Because in the Sefer, you told me Eina Meshamet means that the Malva is allowed to keep the money, he's allowed to pocket the money. So then Meshamet in the Reisha means that the Malva is not allowed to pocket the money? That's not true. Even when Shemitah is Meshamet, that's only that the Malva cannot force the Lova to pay him up. But if the Lova on his own volition decides to pay up, and he says, well, I don't, you know, I'm waiving my rights for Shemitah to be Meshamet to Chov, then the Malva is allowed to receive the money. There's no prohibition in doing so. So what does it mean in the ratio when it says Meshamet? So Gemara answers, you know what? Both the ratio and the Sefer are talking about a case where the lova comes to pay the chov mirtzono on his own volition, his own free will. And when it says in the reisha, in the case of a halvas shvius, which is meshamet, because again, as we said before, Chodesh El is me'ubar, it means that if the lova doesn't want to pay up the chov, right, then he can sort of activate the Shemitah in the Reisha, such that Shvius would be Meshamet. And when he comes to return the Chov, again on his own volition, then Hamalva, the Malva has to tzorich lememerle, has to say to him, Meshamet ani, that I am activating the mitzvah of Shemitah, the requirement of Shemitah. I'm not violating Shemitah, not the essay or the los essay. And if you decide, Mr. Lover, that on your own volition you want to pay me back, that's a different story. But Mitzidi, as far as I'm concerned, Shmot. Shvius is Meshamed. Meshamed Ani. And when it says in the Sefer, and Alvo is on the eighth year, and that's because the Chodesh was not Meubar, and it says in the Mishnah, it says Eino Meshamed. It only means Lo Tzarich LeMeimerle Meshamed, and he doesn't have to declare. The Malva doesn't have to declare that this is Shemitah, because it's a loan of the eighth year. Now the Gemara now looks for a source in the Mishnayos and Shviyas to prove that in fact this is the din that a Malva has to declare Mishamitani on a Chov Shal on Alvav Shviyas. Kidisna, we learned in the Mishnah Hamachzir Chov. If a lova decides to becholzo, to nevertheless pay back the chov, and shvius was meshamet, v'shvius meaning when shvius is noeg, again you have all sorts of conditions for that. In other words, whether you need rov yoshvel, whatever you need. So the malva is required sheyomalo meshamet ani, and if omalo the lova responds says afal picha, nevertheless I still want to pay you. I don't want Shemitah to be Meshamit Chov Yikabu Mienu. And the Malva is allowed to receive it. And this, the Mishnah derives from the Pasuk Shem Shenemar. It says in the parasha of Shemitah, Ksofim v'zeh dvar Shemitah, Shemot kol bal mashe yado asher yashebere ehu. And the word dvar, here in the Pasuk of dvar Shemitah, which is a Lashon of dvar is dibur, teaches us that even if the Lova on his own decides that he wants to pay the Chov, then the Malva is required to remind the Lova that he doesn't have to pay the Chov because it's Shemitah. And the Gemara now tells a little bit of a story about how the Amoraim were Noeg and Alvas Yontif. Rav Avya, when he would extend a loan on Yontif, let's say somebody needed Ochlim, he needed Fulitzoch Yontif, is Hayashokil Mashkona. He would take a mashkan at the time of the halva in order to be absolutely convinced and secure with his halva that he'll be able to pay it back. Rabba bar Ula, ayamarim irume. He would take a chefetz after yontif bar Rama. It's like he would kilu borrow something from the one who borrowed from him, and he would hold on to it until he paid back his chov. The Mishnah says, "V'chein erev Pesach chalios b'Shabbes v'im lo sel l'pischol lokech semei amocher v'im eino ma'amino meniach taliso etzlo v'osim ochesh meliacher yontif." Now let's go on. The Chachomim, and this is a Mishnah in Beitza, they prohibited being magdish something on yontif. It's like kinyonim. Because when you magdish something, your object leaves as your rishus and goes to the rishus of Hegdesh, and that's like mekach u'memkar. Our Gemara wants to clarify, in the case of a karbon whose time is today, is that included in this isur being magdishit? Or shall we say you're allowed to be magdish even on Shabbos and Yontif in a karbon whose man is today on Shabbos and Yontif? On Rav Yochanan, magdish odom Pischo, you know, he could take a seh, a lamb, and he could magdish as a korban Pesach, be erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, shechal b'Shabbos, and furthermore, v'chein magdish behem tol chagigoso be yontif, right? Because the chagigo also has a zman that's mechayev, and if that zman of mechayev is yontif, for example, the Torah commands us to be ola regal to the mikdash three times during the year. And lochug sham, and that's the chagiga. So we bring up to the Beis Hamikdash a karbo, which we makriv as a shlomim lekovet achag. That's called karbon chagiga. In fact, the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Peches writes that it's a mitzvah lahakdim ulakrivo biyontif rishon shel chag. But if he didn't bring that karbon chagiga on the first day of yontif, then he has tashlumi called shiva shenemar shivas yom tochug l'ashem elukecha. And the Rambam passes like that at the beginning of Hilchas Chagiga. And now we're allowing Hegdesh to be magdish behema for Karma Chagiga on Yontif itself, because that's the Zman of the Chagig, even though he has Tashlumin afterwards, but we want it to be Magdish on that day. That's the perfect way of doing it. And even though the Chacham in general say that you're not allowed to be Magdish something on Shabbos and Yontif, but Hagdoshas Pesach with Chagiga is Muteris, is allowed. Just like the Karban itself is Docha Shabbos and Yontif, so the Hagdosha is Docha Shabbos and Yontif. Nema Misayele, the Gemara wants to prove Rav Yochanan's principle from our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, V'chein Erev Pesach B'Yushalayim, Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. So it's Erev Pesach, and it's also Shabbos. And he has no Seh for his Karban Pesach. He's Lokeach Seh Me'amocher. He buys it without paying for it. It's Shabbos, but Meniach Taliso Etzlo V'Notel Esaseh L'Pischa V'Oseh Imo Chesh Meliach Yontif. Okay, fine. That's all fine and dandy. That he took the Pesach on the 14th, which was Shabbos. But what's he going to do with it? It's only a lamb. Obviously, he's going to be Magdish it as a Korban Pesach, even though it's Shabbos. And that's a clear-cut proof to support Rabbi Yochanan, that you can be makar a korban on Yontif with Akdosha on Yontif itself. And, you know, without the Akdosha, you wouldn't be able to be makar of the korban. So Gemara rejects this. Hochamai Askinon, the case of our Mishnah is b'memane achirim imo al pischo d'mei korban mikdosh v'koi. This seh was already sanctified as a korban pesach by the mocher on erev Shabbos, and now the mocher comes on Shabbos to add another person in, to have a chelik in this lamb, so that he should be a manui. And there's no act of hakdosha. I mean, all we need is a minui, so that we can invite another person into this chabura. Now, in the parsha of Korban Pesach, the Torah says in Parshas Bo, V'imi ma'etas habayis mi'yos seh, is then v'lokachu shcheinu akorov el beso v'mikzas nefoshos. In other words, if there are not enough people in the household to finish up the lamb, they won't be able to eat it, then it'll come to Nosar, they should invite other people to join their group to eat with them that Korban Pesach. And it'll all be cheshbon nefoshos, that everybody would be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. Now, the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim derives from that parasha, from that pasuk, that Eina Pesach Nishchad El Limnuyov. In other words, you have to have a Zimun and a Minui that you're going to participate in this Korban Pesach before the Shechita. Right? Like today, if you want to go to a shul, you may have to register beforehand. You can't just show up in shul. In any event, the Baal HaKorban is allowed to appoint achirim, others, invite others for his Pesach, and that's even after he was Magdishit, as long as it hasn't been Shechted yet. That's the Mishnah in Pesachim. So the Gemara says the following, that Shaini Hoch, as we said before, so just one second. Now the Gemara asks the following question. Right, that the setting up of the minui has to take place before Yontif, and not on Yontif itself. It's a, let's call it Uvdin Dechol. So then, what's the pshat that he now wants to invite someone to be money on his Pesach? He can't do that on Yontif, not because of the Hakadosha, but because of the Maisa Chol of being Kovea, that this person is now on Yontif becoming a Shutaf, he's becoming a partner in the Lamb. So Moran says, Shani Hocha came into Rogel at Slokimandi Imni Bey Mei Karadami. In other words, on a regular basis, this person buys animals from him, and therefore he already anticipates up front, at the time of the Minui, that this person is going to probably join him in the Korban Pesach. And it's as if he was memanim on this behemah on Erev Pesach, or Erev Shabbos, in the case where there's an overlap of the two. So this is not the beginning of a Shutfis, which is a Maisachol, because it's Kemande Imni Beimei Koradami. Now the Gemara goes back to prove the din of Rabbi Yochanan from a Braisa. The Braisa speaks about a similar case to have Mishnah, but you won't be able to reject it from the proof to Rabbi Yochanan from the Braisa like you did from the Mishnah. Why, Vatani, Rabbi Hoshaya? So we have a Braisa of Rabbi Hoshaya about Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos, and he says, Holech Adam Eitzel Roeh Haragil Etzlo V'Nosein Lo Tle L'Pischo Makdisho V'Yotzebo. That Rav Hoshi and the Braisa taught that on this Erev Pesach of Shabbos, he's allowed the person who has no kinyan in the seh, he's allowed to go to a roeh who sell. Apparently, the shepherd is also a seller of animals, and the roeh is going to give him a tle lepischo umakdisho. It says beferish that he's magdishit on Shabbos. The yotzibah is fulfill, and he will fulfill his mitzvah of korban pesach. So Gemara answers, Hasam Nami, they're also in the Braisa. We're talking about came in the Rogel Etzlo, Gdushe Le Meikara. The Roeh was Magdish on Erev Shabbos, this Tle, as a Korban Pesach on behalf of so and so, because he knows and he can rely on him that he's going to come back later on and purchase the lamb from him as he's done in the past. So wait a second, the Gemara says for Magdish Ketani, it says explicitly in the Braisa that the Bailam are Magdish on Shabbos. So how are you telling me that it was the Roeh who was Magdish on Erev Shabbos? So the Gemara answers that when the Bailam are Magdish on Shabbos, that's called Hegdesh Ilui Midrabanan. That the Chachamim Midrabanan required a second Maisa Agdosha because of a Maila B'Alma. That it should be the Bailim themselves that are Magdish. He shouldn't just be a tag on to the Roeh who is Magdish. Now this Hegdesh, which we call Ilui, Hegdesh Ilui, was never prohibited on Shabbos because the Bailim is already in the Rishus of Hegdesh on Erev Shabbos. Mi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan in fact hold that you could be Magdish on Shabbos and Yontif, like we quoted earlier? V'ha Omar Rabbi Yochanan loch kistam mishnah usnan. We have a stam mishnah in Beitza that says lo makdishim v'lo marichim v'lo machrim v'lo makbiyim shumas umas. It's called elu biyontif. Amru kalvachom v'shabbos. So on this list of prohibitions that are listed in the stam mishnah at the end of Beitza, we have lo makdishim. You're not allowed to be magdish a behema as a karma. Or for that matter, any other hakdishos, even he's makdishit for berakabayis kedushas domin. And lo marichim, we don't say erech ploni olai, meaning to accept upon himself as a neder, then he has to give to Hegdesh a certain value, which is katsuv in set in Parshas Erechin at the end of Vayikra, lo machrimim, and he's not allowed to declare that this behemah is a cherim, kostam cherim is nitnu, nitonim leberek abayis, lo magbiyim, he's not mafresh trumas of maestros, because that also is a kind of kinyan in which he's like makne to Shevet Kahuna or to Shevet Leviya, or alternative because it's metakin, it's a tikkun of the peros, and it's similar to being magdish. So all this is also, and that's a stam mishnah. So we're not magdish something on Shabbos in Yontif. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan is matir to be magdish on Yontif? Again, I would have said that this is only a special dispensation to be makriv for the sake of being makriv these karbonos. But other karbonos, certainly you would not be allowed to be magdish. So I'm not sure exactly why the Gemara is so objects here. In the note here, he quotes achronim that say, Vare muchach mi Rabbi Yochanan sheshar karbonos osu lahagdish ulam sovra gemara ata. The Gemara thinks now that the din of ein makdishin that's formulated by the Mishnah applies in every single situation, even with regard to karbonos chova, and yet Rabbi Yochanan was matir. So the Gemara is going to answer that the Mishnah is talking about karbonos chova, but only a chova she'ein kavu lazman. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a chova she'kavu lazman lo kasha. Kan b'chove shekavu lehem zman. Kan. The Mishnah is talking about a case of chovos. Just one second. Right, chovos she'ein kavu lehem zman. And such a hakrova is not docha shabbos in yotav, and therefore the hegdesh to be magdish it is prohibited. And this leads us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Mem Ches Amid Beis, and it's dealing with the case of Suda Shabbos. And the Reish of the Mishnah is addressing a halacha around Isur Kriyam and Aksav B'Shabbos. The Sefer is talking about the din of Gorol on Shabbos and Yontif, and the Chacham prohibited reading Shtari Ad Yotos on Shabbos. And this is all to be subsumed under the pasuk in Yeshayahu Nun Ches that we mentioned, the Kibadet of Motze, Vimtso, Cheftzecha, Vedaber, Dover. And we don't read things that might lead us to read Shtari Ad Yotos. So the Mishnah says the following. In what circumstances did they prohibit reading on Shabbos so that he shouldn't be reading Shtari Ad Yotos? Mona Odom es Orchov. When he invites his people, his guests, for Suda Shabbos, he's permitted to calculate how many kikros, how many portions he needs. And V.S. Parparosov, and he could also calculate how many different types of parparos he needs, you know, madanim, different tasty things to put in front of the archim. Mipiv, he's allowed to say this palpeh, he's not allowed to read this from a written text. Av lo yikra min aksav. As if on Erev Shabbos he writes a list and he specifies how many guests he has and what their names are, so he shouldn't forget to read it on Shabbos, then he's not allowed to read this from the Ksav that has the minyan parparos. And the Gemara is going to explain why. The Mishnah now explains the different situations in which you're allowed or not allowed to be matil gorol on Shabbos and Yontif. Mafis Odom Miloshim Pius means he's going to make a gorol, some sort of a lottery, in Bonav, in Bnei Beis al Shulchan. And he's going to decide, based on this lottery, which portion is going to go to whom, who's going to be Zochan, which portion, which mana. Ubevashal Iskavin Lasos Mana Gedola Kenegin Mana Ketana. He should not set it up that, based on this lottery, he will clarify who gets the larger mana and who becomes chayav to take the smaller mana, but all the manos should be equal. The Gemara is going to explain why. Now, with regard to a goral on Yontif, matilim, the kohanim have a goral chaloshim, which are gorolos, ala kodshim. Shenishketu biyontif. In other words, they want to divvy up the basar of the kodshim that was shechted on yontif, and the chacham permit a gorol for this purpose in order to avoid a meriva. There shouldn't be any altercations here in terms of who should get the basar. Avalo al hamonos shal kodshim shenishketu bi erev yontif. If there was a shechita of kodshim on Erev Yontif, then they should have done the goral on Erev Yontif. We're not going to allow them to do the goral on Yontif. Rambam has a different shita in his Pirush HaMishnayis. The Rambam says that the reason why they allowed these gorolos for the month of kodshim is because of chibuv mitzvah. There should be a certain zrizus and chibuv in the achilus kodshim so that a person should get a mona gedol v'yof, and that's a mitzvah. And therefore the Rambam holds that you're allowed to be matil gorolos even for kodshim that was shechted on Erev Yontif. But when it says you have a lo ala monos, and we assume that those were monos that were shechted on Erev Yontif, no, that's a reference to monos shel chulin, where there's no mitzvah. The only question that we have to ask here is why did the Mishnah have to point this out? L'chor pshito maiko mashma. So now we're going to turn to the Gemara on Daf Kuf Mem Tes Omed Aleph. Now we're going back to the case of calculating his guests and the desserts that he wants to give out, and he's allowed to do it verbally, orally, but not reading it from a ksav. My time. What's the problem with reading it from a written document that he prepared on Erev Yontif? And the Gemara answers, there's a machlokas amarim about this point. Rav Bibi Omar Gzeira Shemi Yimchok, and Abai Omar Gzeira Shemi Yikra B'shtari Ed Yotos. So according to Rav Bibi, the minug of those times was that the Baal Bais would give the Shamosh on Shabbos a ksav, and on this ksav it had a list of the orchim, so the Shamosh would know on Shabbos who to invite to the Suda. Now we're afraid that if the Baal Bais will read from this ksav the list of orchim, he'll see that, you know what, he hasn't prepared enough for all of them. So he's going to have sort of like regret that he invited too many people. He doesn't have enough food for his whole gang. So he's going to start erasing the ksav so that the shamish will not, you know, see the ksav and invite people, and he doesn't have food for the people. But Abai says, no, the gzera is that if we allow him to read from the ksav, he's also going to read from shtari adyotos, which are mekach umemkar, and we're not allowed to read from those on Shabbos, again because of Idabru Dover. And the Gemara says, "My Beinayu, what's enough kamina here between Rabbeinu and Abai Ika Beinayu in a case where the Kosav, he wrote the minion, the number of the guests that he wants to invite, Akosel, on the wall, Umidle, on the Kosel, B'makom Gavoh, Sheinu Magil L'Sham L'Mchok." So the list is written on a kosel in a very high place, and he can't possibly erase it. Lamandi Omar Shemi Yimchok is lochashim. Here, there's no chash that will come to do mechika because he can't even reach that part of the wall. And how is he going to erase it? Therefore, he's allowed to read it. But Lamandi Omar, according to Abaye, who identifies this list of Orchim as a kind of Shtar Yotos, and we're afraid Shami Yikra of Shtar Yotos, even in this case, Chai Shinon, we're going to still be choshish that maybe this will bring him to read from Shtar Yotos, and therefore it's also to read them. So the Gemara says, is it possible to say that the Nafkamina is that one? The Lemandi Omar Shema Yimchok, are we saying that according to the one mandiyoma, which we identified as Rabibi, the problem is only Mechika? What Nechus Shema Yikra, why is he not impressed by Abai's logic that seems to be very very compelling, that we're afraid of he might come to read Shtar Yotos? And just like there's a Chashash of Shema Yimchok, there should be an equal Chashash of his Kriya of Shtar Yotos. And furthermore, is it possible to say Sheva Yimchok Lo Chai Shinon in this case where he wrote it high up on the kosel, we're not afraid of Mechika Vehasnan? Not sure if it should be read Vasnan. Ah, yeah, it should be Vasnan, not Vasanya, because we have this Mishnah back on Daf Yud Aleph, Lo Yikra B'Sefer Lior Ner. Chachamim prohibited reading to the candlelight because we're afraid he might do hatoya. He might, if there's not enough light and the oil is not going down and feeding the wick, he might actually tip over the lamp in such a way that the shemen will go down to the wick and the light, you know, yofa, and that's a violation of Melech HaSavara. Fioma Rabba says that with regard to this Mishnah, the Isa of Lo Yikra Lor HaNer is Afilu Gavosh De Komos. Even if the Nair is two flights above the person, afil gavosh de marderos, it's like a little saddle, right? A small saddle that we put on a chamor to warm it up. Is afil asor batim zel gabizeh, even if there are 10 houses, one on top of the other, lo yikra lioro. Even though there's no way he can come to do atoya Nair, it's so high up. Once the chachom made the gzera, they don't distinguish. Lo plug. And if they make a gzer on a mokum namuch, then it's also even mokum gavah. So we should apply that reasoning here as well. That if there's an iser kriya of this list of invitees, and that applies makom namuch, it should apply by extension to a makom gavoa. We're not going to make a chiluk in the takana. So therefore, the Gemara says we have to come up with a different distinction between Abaye and Rabbibi, Ela, but rather Ikebe Nayu, the Kosav Akosel Umitate. He wrote the list of guests on the Kosel and in a low place, where certainly his hand could reach. Lamandi Omashem Yimchol Chayshina, and certainly we have to be Choshish for Mechika. But Lamandi Omashem Yikra, Lo Chayshinon, we're not afraid that he'll come to read Shtori Ad Yotus. Why? Sheguda Vishtara Lo Michlaf. No, a person's not going to make a comparison, an analogy between, and confuse a Kosel with a Shtar. That if you allow him to read from a Kosel, he's going to come to read from a Shtar. So if you have it written on a ledger that's already similar to a Shtar, then Abai's worried that he might come to read a Shtar at Yotus when he reads this Ksav that's listed, enumerates the names of all his guests. But if it's written on a Kosel, then the Gemara thinks that Abai would be Moda, that nobody's going to make confuse or equate a Kosel with a Shtar. The Gemara's not happy with this either. The Lamandi Yomer Shemi Yikra Lochu Shemi Yimchok. First of all, even according to Abai, who says that the fear is because of a Kriya B'Shtar Ed Yotos, which wouldn't apply in this case where it's written on the Kosel, but nevertheless he should be Choshesh for Mechika. Well, why is he less Choshesh, you know, for Mechika than he is for Shemi Yikra B'Shtar Ed Yotos? So therefore the Gemara suggests another interpretation here. Ela Ikebe Nayu, the machlok, the nafkavita between them is the chayik atavla, where the ksav was written in a knife on a luach shel eitz. It was actually carved off on a wooden board, or a pinkas. That's also something similar to a luach shel eitz, and it's like the luchos of the socharim, you know, those who are marketing their produce. And what they do is they engrave into this luach the list that they need, and they actually layer it with on top with wax, and they have all the cheshbonos written there. L'mandi Yom Hashem Yimchok Lo Chayshina. In this case, there's no chash of mechika. It will be a tremendous effort on his part, a Torah Gadol, to be mochek a chakika, to erase something that's engraved, and while he's being toreach, to be mochek, and he won't even remember that it's Shabbos today. It all exerus because he might forget it's Shabbos. So therefore, in this case, you'd be allowed to read it. If you hold like Abai that we're afraid he'll read Shtori Ad Yotos, then this is also Shtori Ad Yotos. Even though he's Chokek Pesakin on a Luach Shel Eitz, that still retains the status of a Shtar Hedyot. So Gemara asks on this, Vol Ulaman Tiomer Sheba Yimchok Lechu Sheba Yikre. So in this particular case of Chakika Pesakin Atavla Luach Shel Eitz, I understand that there's a chash of Shema Yimchok, but of Shema Yikra, of Shtar Ad Yotos, but what? Why should we be matir if there's no chash of Shema Yimchok? Because as we said before, it's going to take so much of a time to be mochek that it'll remind itself of Shabbos. Why shouldn't it be chosh of Shema Yikra? Why is Rabbi unimpressed with this compelling logic that it should be also because of Kriya in Shtar Ad Yotos? So the Gemara offers a possible answer and rejects. V'chi tema. And if you'll tell me that according to the Man Yom Hashem Yimchok, he holds Tavlo Pinchas Bishtara Lo Michlaf, that a person will not confuse between a Tavla, which we said is the Luchos of Eitz for the socharim and a pinchas, which is a ledger that's upon which you write a shtar. And therefore, since they are so fundamentally different one from the other, we're not choshish for Sheva Yikra b'shtari ad yotas. And therefore, you're allowed to read it in this particular way when it's written on the luchos of eights. So the Gemara rejects that outright. V'atani, we have a brisa that says just the opposite. Mone Adam, a person is allowed to calculate his guests, kama mi bifnim v'kama v'chutz, which one should be sitting in the inside, which is a more mechubadika place, which one should we sit on the outside, which is less mechubad, kama manas asid laniach lifneim. Right, he can already calculate and read from the text how many monos he needs, how many portions does he need. And then it says, miksav shal gabi akosel. All this, the above, is permissible, according to the Braisa, from a writing on the wall. Avalomi tol ksav shal gabi tavla upinkas. But not from a ksav that's written on tavla upinkas. Not from a list that's written on a board or a tablet. So the Braisa asks reading from a board of a tablet, even if it's engraved, which proves that we are afraid that reading from a board or tablet might lead him to read from shtare hedyotos. And if we interpret that the Braisa is referring to an engraved list, so the Gemara now eliminates the possibility that the reader will erase it, as we said before, in an engraved list. There's no chashash of mechika. So the only other possible chashash is they'll come to read shtar yotos. And that's why the Braisa permits reading it from a wall, because the wall is so, if it contains a writing, it's clearly different than parchment that contains a writing. But nevertheless, it forbids reading from the tablet, because even reading from a tablet might lead to shtari adyotos. Now, Rabibi cannot be cholik on a brisa, so he has to agree that you're not allowed to read from an engraved tablet. So it means that both Rabibi and Abai would prohibit reading a list that was engraved on a luach eitz. So therefore, we're back to the original question here. What is the difference, nafkamina, between Rabibi and Abai? Yelo the olam, the kasava kosul midli. He wrote it up. We're going back to the original answer, high up on the wall. Udika kasha lele the rabba. You had a kasha on rabba, right? And what we said before, originally when we tried to suggest that it was written high up on the wall, and the Gemara rejected it because of low plug, namely that we have a principle that something which osur lamata is osur lamala. So the principle is that when there's a gzera against reading a guest list, because he might come to erase it, that's going to apply even if it's beyond his reach. So even if it's written high up on the wall, once again, the Gemara insisted before that Rabbi, the Rabbi and Abai would both agree that you're not allowed to read from it. So the Gemara says, Udika kashale de Rabba. And you're asking now, according to Rabba, how is he going to deal with this case? And the answer is, de Rabba tanoihi. That Rabba's understanding that the subject of this machlokes, I'm saying Rabba's understanding that the prohibition here is based on shtar yad yotas, that in fact is a machlokes tanoim. So there are tanoim who hold that we have low plug, and yet we're going to find one time at least who holds that we can apply the principle of plug, meaning we don't have to apply, that even situations which are not really chashashos, that we cannot make exceptions. No, we can make exceptions to the rule. It's not fixed in stone. It's not low plug desanya, because we have in a braisa that Mone Adam es Orchav es Parparosav Mipiv Avalomenek Sav. A person can count his guests orally, but not if it's written, even if it's written on a wall. Rabbi Acha Matib Ksav Shal Gabi Akosel.
And Rabbi Acha allows you if it's written on a wall. Hey Chidomi, what could be the case? If it's written on the bottom of the wall, we have to be afraid of erasing. Of he might come to erase it, and even Rav Acha would certainly prohibit it in such a case. El lav the cause of umidli, he must have written it high up on the wall, and Rav Acha is going to allow you to read such a list. It's too hard to erase it, and the Tanakama prohibits it. Shma minah de Rabba Tanoihi. Notice the ruling of Rabba, which is based on Lo Plug, is in fact a machlokis tanoim. And the Tana Kama and Rav Acha are debating this very point. Tana Kama agrees with Rabba that we're going to apply Lo Plug, there are no exceptions, and therefore the Tana Kama will apply the Iser and this Gzera about reading a list, even if it's very high up, and it's beyond reach, and it's highly unlikely, to say the least, that it'll erase it. But Rav Acha, on the other hand, limits the Gzera of Chacham to cases where he may come to violate the Torah law. And that's what the purpose of the Gzera is, to protect and design from preventing that from occurring. Therefore, he's allowed to read from a list that's written high up on the wall, since it's improbable that he will come to erase it. Shma minah, and that's the final conclusion. So the point of contention now between Rabbibi and Abaye, according to this maskana, is that Rabbibi is going to stress that the decree against reading was because of Shema Yimchok. He's going to agree with the Tanakama, and this prohibition applies in all circumstances, low plug, even if it's high up. Abaye, on the other hand, he's not afraid of Shema Yimchok. He's going to therefore limit the decree, as Rav Acha does, situations where it's likely that he will come to erase it. Okay then, so this is where, even though there's still more to the sugi, but we can stop here. And we're up to Vahani Tanoi, Kehani Tanoi. Let's just see if we can figure out where we want to pick it up tomorrow. It's about two-thirds of the way down. And the first word in the line is Tanoihi.